Welcome to the Positivity and Prosperity Podcast. If you're ready for a dose of inspiration and insight, then you've come to the right place. My name is Victoria Maskell, and I'm a psychotherapist, mindset coach, and positivity practitioner. I help women just like you to have their own Cinderella stories and transform their mindsets to make their dreams a reality. So if you're a coach, an entrepreneur, or just looking to up-level your life, then this is the podcast for you. I'm going to be talking all things money mindset, manifesting your dream life, and how to use your subconscious to achieve anything you set your mind to. I'm going to be filling these podcast episodes with stories and inspiration for you, things to make you smile, feel supported, and get ready to crush your goals and manifest your dreams. There is no such thing as a coincidence in life. So just by listening to this podcast, you are one step closer to making your dream life, business, and mindset a reality. So if you're ready for today's dose of positivity and prosperity, then let's dive in. Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Positivity and Prosperity Podcast. Obviously, if this is your first episode, then welcome to what is hopefully going to be a really exciting episode all about money blocks, money limiting beliefs, and how to overcome them. Now, in true manifestation style, I'm sure as soon as I press record, I hear 10,000 cars, 10,000 motorbikes zooming down my street, which for the rest of the day is so quiet and peaceful and serene. So I apologize in advance. I'm trying to work on it. Oh, we don't like the word try. I am manifesting quietness, serenity, and a beautiful audio for this podcast. So bear with me if that is not always the case. Occasionally, the ice cream van will come and park outside my house just as I'm recording. So if that happens, you know that it's June in the UK and actually ice cream vans come out. Right, so today's episode, and actually most of the episodes that are going to be coming up in June are going to be focused on money mindset, money manifestations, and all things money beliefs. Because when I go back through my DMs or if I check my emails, I would say 80% of the questions I get are around money beliefs, money blocks, and manifesting money. And that's great because my specialism is money mindset. So I thought, okay, we're going to do a sort of themed month. Not all of the episodes are going to be on money mindset, but the majority of them. Because this is obviously something that is front of mind for a lot of people. And part of the reason why it became one of my specialists, one of the things I absolutely love to coach on and uncover with people and help them rewrite their limiting beliefs around money, is because I had to do this myself. I didn't realize I needed to do this when I very first started my business, but it became quite clear that it needed to be something I addressed. So when I talk about the money blocks and the money limiting beliefs in this episode, a lot of these were beliefs that I had or I sort of had felt in certain ways. I'm going to create a whole episode for entrepreneurs and small business owners about manifesting money because in the manifestation room, which if you haven't heard, side note, the doors to the manifestation room are going to be opening very, very soon. So the manifestation room is my monthly monthly membership all about mindset, manifestation. And actually in June and July, we are doing some deep dives on shifting the way you feel about money so you can manifest more of it. So actually, if you're like, wait, I need to get in on this, I'll leave the link in the show notes to join the waitlist. If you're listening to this after the 26th of June, then I'll have changed the link and you'll actually be able to come and join us in the manifestation room. So check the show notes for all of those details. If you've ever got any questions about things like the manifestation room, just drop me a DM on Instagram. I'm at victoria.maskell, or send me an email, which is easy because it's victoria@victoriamaskell.com, and I will answer all of your questions. But the reason I'm going to do an episode specifically about how to manifest money as a small business owner, and how to manifest money if you're not a small business owner and you are a stay-at-home mum, or you have a 9-to-5, or you're salaried, is because I get asked these questions all the time. So these episodes are coming to your very ears because people just like you have asked me questions like this. So if you've ever got any questions, please let me know. A lot of the coaching I do on money mindset is based on the shifts I realized I needed to make. And one of those shifts I realized I needed to make was around going from being in a 9-to-5 to being a business owner. And I don't think I realized when I was in a 9-to-5 the impact my money beliefs were having, because you're salaried. You're given an amount of money each month. And I don't think I really realized how the stories and ideas and habit patterns I had around money were really massively impacting what I was manifesting. Then I think when you start your own business or you have a side hustle and suddenly you are in front of money more, it starts to become really clear that we all have money blocks. Every single person has money blocks. And even as you up level and even as you change the way you think and feel about money, there are going to be blocks and limits, but you get better and better at being aware of them and shifting them. And actually, I was having a conversation with one of my friends the other day, we were actually talking more about like body image and food and weight. Part of me is tempted to do an episode on how I've sort of manifested some of the physical things in my life. So if you want to know a little bit about how I manifested changing how I see food, how I eat, how I changed how I see my skin, because I used to have really bad skin. Used to have old stories and beliefs. Let me know if that's an episode you'd be interested in, because I know it's slightly different to what we talk about. But anyway, she was asking me lots of questions and she was like, wow, that's really good that you notice it and can change it. And I think one of the big skills with manifestation is awareness of your thoughts and your beliefs. Because what she sort of highlighted that I almost hadn't realized in myself was I've got really good at going, oh, hang on a minute, you're doing this right now, let's change that. Or, oh, wait a minute, that's an old story. You don't feel that way anymore. Let's shift that. And I think it was really useful for her to reflect that back to me, just in normal kind of chit-chat conversation in the car, because I hadn't realized. So there's an irony here, isn't there? I wasn't aware that I had good awareness, which maybe counteracts the good awareness. But if you sort of take one thing from this episode, take that the more you are aware of your limiting beliefs around money, the more you're aware of where you have negative self-talk around money, where you have limiting thoughts around money, the easier it is to be able to change that. Because ultimately, why do we want to change our limiting beliefs around money? Because we want to have more money. But you can even have a block around having more money, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. So in this episode, we're going to do two key things. We're going to talk about some of the really common limiting beliefs around money. And hopefully this will give you an idea of, oh, wow, I think like that. Or, oh, gosh, I know someone who thinks like that. Or, oh, I used to think like that. And then I'm going to give you three steps with a sneaky bonus step, so stay tuned for that, to overcome your limiting beliefs around money. So let's just dive straight in. Okay, the first common limiting belief around money, or money block, whichever you want to call it, is the idea that it's greedy and selfish to want more money. Even that concept of I want more can be really, really triggering for people. Like, I want more shoes, I want more food, I want more clothes, I want more money. Just the concept of more is a little bit like in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Is it Veruca Salt? Where she's seen as this greedy, selfish, yucky little girl who's like, I want this, daddy buy me this, daddy buy me this. And it's just portrayed as really gross, isn't it? You watch it and you're like, oh, I don't want to be like her. And obviously the great things about like Roald Dahl books is he was portraying really human traits in such a way that we could watch them and go, ooh, yeah, I don't want to be like that. But the thing is, when we then link this to money, we're jumping about 50,000 steps ahead. We're making some false associations. So yes, could it be seen as greedy and selfish to be like, I want more, give me, this kind of, I guess, idea of a bit like gluttony. Could that be seen as a negative? Yes. Could that be valid? Yes. But is it also possibly true that you are limiting yourself, that you are keeping yourself small, that you are actually keeping yourself away from an amazing, incredible life just because you feel it's greedy and selfish to want more money? Because also, what are we talking about when it comes to more money? Are we talking about an extra £20 a week? Are we talking about £1,000 extra a month? Are you talking about £1 million extra a month? Like, what levels of more are you working with? Because to be honest, most people, when they're thinking about more, they're not saying, I want £1 million a day. I want £1 million a week. They're not even saying I want an extra £1 million a year necessarily. So I want you to think about this, and I want you to be thinking, right, have I ever thought it's greedy and selfish to want more money? Have I ever sat there and gone, oh, I can't ask for more? And then look at what you're actually asking for. Are you actually asking for something that would be greedy and selfish? Or are you just asking for more life, more abundance, more freedom, more time? Because here's the thing, for most people, when they think of having an abundance of money, one of the first, or at least one of the dominant thoughts of what they would do with that money is to help other people. I have played lots and lots of different manifestation games in my groups, and a lot of the times I'm asking questions like, okay, if you were just given £1,000 today, or if every single day you got £1,000, then £2,000, then £3,000, then £4,000, etc., what would you do with the money every single day? And so many times people are saying things like, oh, I would pay off my mum's mortgage. I would help my sister out. I would give this money to this charity. I would do this for my community. And the really dominant vein of this is helping other people, being caring. A lot of the time it's giving it away, or at least giving percentages of it away to help other people. Or it's family related. People are saying, oh my gosh, I would take my family to this place, or I would take my husband or my partner here, there, or wherever. I'd let them experience this. I would stop work so that I could. And then often that next sentence is help other people, spend more time with this person, do this. So actually, is it greedy and selfish to want more money? No, because so often the things that we would do with that money benefit other people as well. Now, I also want to add in here that it doesn't have to be selfish or greedy to say, I want more money because I want a pair of Jimmy Choo shoes in every single colour. That's okay. It's not selfish or greedy to say, because I want it for me. That's okay too. Like, the other sort of, please sir, I want some more sir imagery I get is like Oliver going up and just asking for more. Obviously, he's starving, he's hungry. I'm talking about Oliver Twist, by the way, the Charles Dickens book, if you're thinking, who's Oliver? I don't know an Oliver. But even then, he's told no. The master is like, how dare you ask for more? So we're always being fed these ideas that it's greedy, that it's bad, it's negative. But I want you to start to look at where maybe in your life, you're being quite harsh on yourself. And you're saying that it would be greedy and selfish when actually it wouldn't be. And a simple thing you could say to yourself is, okay, imagine I won the lottery. What would I do with that money? And know that whatever you want to do with it is absolutely fine, but maybe write out 10 different things, or the first 10 things you'd do with it. And then just have a look at that list and see how many of those things involve helping other people, where other people would benefit, where you are gifting it or giving it away or using it to support other people in some way, shape or form. And I think you'll be surprised in that you'll realise that there's absolutely nothing greedy or selfish about wanting more money. So that's the first one. Okay, the second one, right. This block or this limiting belief was one that I didn't realise I had as much. until I started my own business. And it's quite simply the limiting belief that I'm not good with money. Now, I had managed to get through a large chunk of my early years being kind of, I was going to say being okay with money, but not realizing maybe that I believed that I was not good with money. And the reason I say not realizing is because when I started my business, suddenly you have to do your accounts. You have to do taxes. You have to manage things. You have to know words like gross and net. And I didn't really understand what they meant. And I suddenly felt, oh my gosh, I'm really not good with money. Now, I don't know necessarily what that might mean for you, but for me, it meant things like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I should be doing. And you know, if you listen to any of these episodes, we do not like the word should here, but I personally definitely felt this. It was like, I don't know how to manage a business. I don't know how to do sales. I was even apprehensive around like the businessy money words. Like I said, like gross profit, net profit, income, payroll. I was like, what does all of this mean? It was like a foreign language. And I noticed that because I was holding this limiting belief, I was ostriching. I was burying my head in the sand, and I was sort of, rather than going, okay, I don't know a lot about this, but realizing that actually I'm really good at learning stuff, and I'm good at asking questions, and I'm good at assimilating new information. I sort of ignored that and held on to this, I'm not good with money. Oh, I'm not good with money. And I almost used it as like a defense mechanism. Like a, oh, well, I'm not good with money, so I don't know how to answer that. Oh, no, it'll all be fine. It'll all be fine. I'll bury my head in the sand. Now, actually, if you think about it, depending on where you are in the world, this might differ, but we're not really taught what to do with money in school. We're taught algebra. We're taught geometry, but we're not taught how to use a credit card. We're not even really taught what a credit card is. We're not taught the benefits and the potential downfalls. We are not taught about interest, APR. Don't know if I still fully understand what APR means, other than high percentage bad, 0% better. Do I dare say good, 0%? But you know what I mean? We're just not taught these things. We are not taught about how to do stuff with money. And because of that, I think a lot of us then have a block that I'm not good with it. Now, this can lead to potential overspending. This can lead to people feeling like they can't manage money, that they don't know what they're doing with it. It can lead to a feeling of, I'm not good at saving. I spend too much, but I don't know how to budget. It could also go the other way, where people are really afraid to spend. They're really afraid to invest in themselves. They're afraid to buy things because they're like, well, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can afford it. I don't know if this is enough money. Have I got a good pension? Have I got a good, what's it called, a 401k? I think I've admitted on this podcast before that obviously I'm based in the UK. I thought a 401k was a car. For a large percentage of my adult life, I thought it was a car. I think it sounds like a car. If anyone else is British and they agree with me, please let me know, because that will make me feel so much better. I realise it is not a 401k is not a car now. So don't worry if you're listening to this in the US thinking, you fool. But there you go. Maybe that just feeds into that I'm not good with money because I don't know what it is. But I've really moved past that now, as I hope you can imagine. So where is this coming up for you, if at all? Because some of these limiting beliefs might not be yours. They might be things that you've moved past. They might be things that just don't resonate with you. Or it could be that you're listening to this going, oh, that's me. That's me because. And I find that especially if you own a business or a side business, this doesn't have to be that this is your main income. It can really hold you back from success because there's this sort of outer world of money that you're like, I don't really know how to do that. You start thinking, I don't really know how to pitch myself to companies. I don't really know how to discuss invoicing. I don't really know how to pitch what I do because I'm not good with money. It can filter out into so many areas of your life if you let it. So for me, this concept of I'm not good with money is a really, really big money block. A really simple shift for this, for me personally, was going, okay, and I think this is one of my coaches actually sort of helped me get to this point. And I remember her asking me lots of questions, and I just sort of had this blinding flash of the obvious moment, BFO, if you know, you know. And I said to myself, hang on a minute, what's one of the things I really love doing? Learning, understanding new ideas, revising, testing myself, gaining new information, assimilating that information. Why don't I just do that with money? Why don't I just go, okay, well, I've never been taught it before, so this is exciting. What can I learn? And as I'm sat here recording this podcast episode, I've got a couple of books on my windowsill in front of me. One of them is just called Money by Rob Moore, which is actually a very good book. I've got The Psychology of Money on there. Again, very good book, would recommend that. I've got The Soul of Money, Lynn Twist. Again, another, it's a very different type of book, but I would recommend that. And actually, the cover of my own book is there, which is The Science of Getting Rich, the fast track version for the 21st century. So obviously, if you want to grab yourself a copy of that, you can get a paperback copy or an audiobook version. I'll leave the link in the show notes, or you can get it from my website. But I really do walk my talk on that one. I've still got so much more to learn, but I'm seeing it as an experiment, as interesting. I read so many books. If anyone has got any books on money mindset that they've read recently that they would love to recommend, please send them my way. Another really good book, this is now turning into like a podcast book recommendation episode, is Happy Pocket Full of Money by David, and I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce his surname. I want to say it's Gikandi. I could have completely said that wrong. I'm so sorry if I have. But if you type in Happy Pocket Full of Money, it's such a good book. I've got it on audiobook and I've bought the paperback version. And you know it's a good book when I've done that. So that is the second limiting belief. The third one, which I think kind of links to the first one in some ways, but it's like a different way of looking at it, is I don't deserve a lot of money. Have you ever thought to yourself, I just don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. I can't make that amount of money because I don't do enough, or I don't do anything that's worthy of that. Now, this could be in your business, this could be in your job, this could be a feeling of just you as a person. So someone might say, oh, well, I only make cakes for a living, so I'll never be a millionaire. Wait a minute. Why does that have to be true? Why are you saying you don't deserve to be paid well for what you do? Because you have a skill, you're creative. Hold that thought when it gets to the creative one, because that's coming up in our next limiting belief. Maybe it's a feeling of, I don't deserve it because other people don't have as much. Maybe there's a comparison element in here of like, well, there are some incredible people out there in the world who are, right, this is a slightly humorous example, but my friend sent me this TikTok of what can only be described as the dirtiest bathroom I have ever seen in my whole entire life, that hadn't been cleaned in, I don't know, it said something like 3 years. But in case you're eating at this point, I'm going to censor this, but let's just say the bathroom products of this lady had not gone in a bin and left the bathroom for a number of years. There was no floor space. The shower could not have been used for 2 years. And someone went in and cleaned this whole bathroom. Now, I have to say, my personal thing was just burn it. Just burn it. There is not enough bleach in the world to make that clean. But this woman, that was her job. And she did an incredible job. Now, she went in with just small gloves and a small mask. Now, I was thinking, she needs a hazmat suit. You need full hazmat protection to do that. But the reason I'm bringing this up is we seem to sort of evaluate our worth based on other people. Like, we're human beings. We are always comparing ourselves. We're comparing our business journey. We're comparing our lives to people on social media. We're comparing our bodies. We're comparing our faces. We're comparing how old we look or how young we look. We're comparing money. We're comparing it all. But with this, I don't deserve a lot of money, what often happens is people say, well, I don't do enough for it because that person, gosh, that person cleaning that bathroom, wow, she's really putting herself out there. She's putting herself potentially in a dangerous situation. So I don't deserve to be paid more than her because I only work in IT, or I only create fun t-shirts or something. Now, is that actually true? Is there any reason why you don't deserve to be paid well for what you do? Now, I understand that there is sort of a hierarchy and we can't necessarily wave a magic wand and say, well, that person puts their heart and soul into everything, so they deserve to be paid more. But the problem with this, I don't deserve a lot of money, is the comparison element is based on the idea that there is a limited amount to go round. It's also based on the idea that what you do has to be compared to other people. And that comparison thing is where we're blocking ourselves. We need to look at our lives in isolation. We need to actually start to reframe this maybe into the idea that everyone deserves to live a good life. Everyone deserves to be happy. Now, does that necessarily mean have a lot of money? No, because not everyone sees money and happiness as directly linked. And I've got a whole podcast episode on can money buy you happiness? And I really dive into the pros and the cons. So if you haven't already checked that out, go and listen to that episode because I think you'll really like it. But that is our third limiting belief. Our fourth limiting belief. This is for all you creatives out there. If you're an artist, you're into music, you're into drama, you love creating products. This limiting belief that I see a lot is I can either do what I love or have a lot of money. And a few months ago, I was talking in my Manifesting Magic group, and one of the ladies who might be listening, so hi if you are, was talking about her daughter and how her daughter is this amazing artist. And it was sort of bringing up conversations around, in our group, around jobs that we as children perceived made money and jobs that we as children perceived didn't. And I've actually got another client who is, I'm going to call her a creative because she's incredibly creative. And she's mentioned the same thing, that when she was younger, people were saying things like, oh, but you can't make any money from art, or, oh, well, yeah, you can just have it as a hobby. And unfortunately, I think this is really stuck for some people, that they might have a passion for music or acting or painting or creating products of some description. But maybe from a very early age, they were taught, well, that's only going to be a side project, or there's no money in it, or don't go for that because you won't be able to make any money. And whilst potentially that was true in our parents' generation or a generation gone by, I think the world is constantly shifting. The world is constantly changing in how we make money. And actually, one of the reasons I wrote my book, which is based on the 1910 book by Wallace Wattles, The Science of Getting Rich, is because whilst that fundamentally changed the way I saw money, there was so much of it that was outdated because of the nature of the world in 1910 and the nature of the world in 2023. So, not that I wrote it in 2023, but still, in the 2020s. So what actually is really important is to remember that sometimes these limiting beliefs with money may have been true at one time, but the way we make money, the way the world works, is always changing and shifting. Look at things like, I don't know, Bitcoin. Look at things like YouTube. Look at affiliate marketing. Look at TikTok. Oh my gosh, TikTok. People have made incredible amounts of money from TikTok, which basically started as short, funny videos, dancing videos. There are people who, there's a creator who, I think her name on TikTok is just Eden. She's got like lovely, like dark hair and blue eyes. And I came across her videos years ago, just rap probably in lockdown, because that's what I was doing. And she was doing these like cool transitions where she'd lift her phone up and down. And then like, I'm not describing it very well. I'm sure she doesn't listen to this podcast, but they were really, really cool. And now she's become a huge creator. Now, back in the day, our parents' generation would have gone, don't be ridiculous. You can't make an income from creating funny videos that are 5, 10, 15 seconds long. That's ridiculous. But we have to remember that it is so possible now to make money in so many different ways, that why couldn't you do what you love and have a lot of money? Why does it have to be a choice? Why do we have to choose between the two? Who says that you can't do both? And I'm going to leave that one there. Right, two more big money blocks coming up for you. And then we're going to talk about ways of overcoming these. The next one. Money is the root of all evil. Now, I mentioned a few minutes ago that I've done a whole podcast episode that is about, can money buy you happiness? And I think this money is the root of all evil idea came about because of the association with money and nasty people. Money and Scrooge, money and people who were going to lie and cheat and steal to get it. And you can see how potentially there are elements that could be true of this. I think there are definitely what we might describe as bad people out there who make money. But is it because of money? Well, I suppose money could be the motivator, maybe. But does that mean that you wanting money or having money or desiring money or talking about money makes you in some way bad? No, because this is another place where we've like made that giant leap. We've gone, money is bad. Now, I talk a lot on this podcast about the subconscious mind. And in the manifestation room, we really dive into the subconscious mind because the subconscious mind is where you manifest from. This is why sometimes you have that feeling of, yeah, but I don't feel like this. I don't believe money is the root of all evil, but I really struggle to make it. Well, what is your subconscious mind thinking about money? How is your subconscious mind, I don't know how to say sub quite so loudly, but how is your subconscious mind thinking and feeling about you having money? Because if your subconscious thinks money is evil, money is bad, having money will make us a bad person, it will make us greedy, it will make us selfish, it will turn us away from our true calling and passion, which is being caring and kind and thinking of others. If your subconscious thinks that, then it's going to create a secondary gain for you not manifesting money. And this is why it creates the block. This is why it creates the limit, if you like, because your subconscious is going, no, 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 money isn't good for us. Money isn't safe. We can't have money. Right, keep away from it. And that's why you self-sabotage. That's why you find that you have bad money habits. That's why you find that you get blocked around money, because your subconscious is saying, this is dangerous, this isn't good. So the point I'm making with this one is sometimes we don't consciously believe these things, but on a subconscious, more sort of emotional, more instinctual level, we really feel these limiting beliefs. And sometimes you need to dive into your subconscious, you need to do some hypnosis, you need to do some BWRT maybe, to actually understand where this limiting belief is coming from and how to shift it. Now the final one, I had to include this one because I think this is possibly the most common one, because it's the one you hear all the time. And it is, money doesn't grow on trees. Hands up if you've heard it, if you've said it, if you've been told it, if you've read it. And I imagine we're all metaphorically maybe holding our hands up right now, because this is the one you hear all the time. And then I remember either, I don't think I necessarily said it, but like I remember children at school being like, well, that's not true because money's made of paper and paper's made of trees, so money does grow on trees. Actually, do you know what? It's quite clever. I think it's quite true. Although I can't speak for other countries, but our money right now is like, I'm going to describe it as plastic. It's this, like, you can't rip it, you can't bend it. It's like, it is literally like plastic money. The notes I'm talking about, obviously not coins. And obviously coins don't grow on trees in that they're not made of paper. But anyway, side point. So what does that belief of money does not grow on trees do? It makes us feel like we are in lack. It makes us feel like there is a limited amount of money available. If there is a limited amount of money available, what happens? We get into scarcity. We either feel like we can't have more. We potentially feel like we've got to desperately hold on to what we have. So we get restrictive. We get panicked when we get bills. We get panicked when there are changes around money, because we have this idea, well, it doesn't grow on trees. Well, it doesn't grow on trees. It's fueling the idea that we do not live in an abundant universe, which really is fundamentally untrue in many, many ways. You only have to look at nature to see how beautiful and abundant the world is. But if you perpetuate that cycle of money doesn't grow on trees, you notice the lack, you notice the scarcity, you hyperfixate on anything that fits that belief. And as a result, you feel like you're in scarcity with money, then when you feel like you're in scarcity with money, how can you manifest more? Because you're in the wrong energy. You are out of alignment with the money that you want to manifest. So those are the key limiting beliefs. I want you to think about, so I've given you six there. How many of the six resonate with you? How many of those limiting beliefs do you think, yeah, I think like that, I feel like that? So now I want to talk a little bit about how you can overcome them. I'm going to give you three steps to overcome these limiting beliefs, because I feel like we've talked a lot about blocks and limits and the negative impact. So let's talk a little bit about what you can do about it. And I want to give you three steps plus a little bonus step, like I mentioned at the start. So the first step is just to reframe these limiting beliefs into more positive ones. Reframing is such a powerful tool when it comes to limiting beliefs, because it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to completely change it, you completely shift it into something that's so different to where it was, but it's looking at it from a different perspective, changing the wording. So I think I mentioned when we were talking about the I'm not good with money belief, that I started to say things like, I'm going to get good at managing money. I'm an excellent money manager. I love learning more about money. You might even not have a specific affirmation, but it might be more of a concept of, it's okay, I wasn't taught about money, and if I'm not taught about something, then how would I know about it? But now I'm going to actively get good with money. And obviously, getting good with money is a concept that's going to be completely different for every single person. For some people, it's going to be the basics of what's a credit card, how do I invest, what's a pension, what's an ISA. For other people, it might be really high level financial investing. It might be, just probably that. It might be really high level financial investing and anywhere in between. So just simply reframing it, using different language, is a very, very powerful way of overcoming these limiting beliefs. And obviously you want to change it into something more positive. You want to think about the language you're using and make things that are really specific to you. The second step is just to challenge some of these old stories and beliefs. So maybe you say, well, Victoria, actually, I've got a really specific memory of this thing happening. So maybe it's the, I can either do what I love or have a lot of money. Maybe you're like, I tried it. I tried being an actor. I tried being a singer. I tried being a dancer and I didn't make any money. And you might be like, I really feel that that was my reality. Now, notice I use the word was there. So I would be saying, okay, well, how can you see it as an old story? It was true at the time. How can you shift the belief into something that is more positive? How can you, again, reframe it? Doesn't mean that you have to deny what happened in the past or deny that truth. It's like, okay, how can I use that as fuel? How can I see it differently? How is the world differently now? Different now? How am I different now? And just really challenge those old stories and beliefs. And then the third one is to fill your mind with positive examples of money. Actively seek out people who have great money stories. And if anything, try and find people who are as similar to you as possible. And obviously use similar however you like. This could be age, this could be race, this could be gender, this could be location. This could be people who are doing similar things to you. Maybe they have a similar type of business or they have a similar family background. Whatever makes you feel similar to someone. And you can do this by looking on YouTube. You can do this by Googling. Like, there are so many things. Ask people questions. Ask your family members questions. And really search for positive examples with money, because this is really going to be reframing as well, but in a different way. It's going to be firing up your neural pathways. It's going to be giving you more evidence and more examples that money is a good thing. Money is positive. Money is abundant. And that is what we want to be filling your mind with. And the bonus, I hope you've been waiting for this bonus. Oh, I need to give you a secret word, because we're coming to the end of the episode. Okay, the secret word, if you have got to this part of the episode, is going to be purple highlighter. So if you've listened to this point, drop me an email or a message with the phrase purple highlighter, and I will know that you have listened right to the end of the episode. So, the bonus tip. The bonus tip for overcoming your limiting beliefs with money has to be to come and join the Manifestation Room, because June and July is going to be so focused on specifically uncovering your limiting beliefs. And we are using scientific research. Actually, as you're listening to this, you are the first people to know exactly what we're going to be talking about. So we are going to be uncovering and using scientific research that shows two key factors that have a direct impact on your finances and on how you manifest money. And I am going to be using specific hypnosis audios that I'm creating for these different elements, so you will be able to pick your specific one based on your results in the Manifestation Room. So it's not just a generic hypnosis, it is a really specific hypnosis that is there to rewire how you think and feel about money. Plus, if you join us in when the doors open in June, so they're going to open on the 26th of June, you will actually also get access to April and May's content as well. So June's content will be live. So as soon as you join from the 26th of June, you will be able to access all of that amazing content, and you'll be able to join the June Live. Doors are actually going to stay open until the 5th of July, and then they will be closing again. Now, if you're listening to this as this goes live, you're like, but it's not the 26th of June yet, what do I do? Don't worry. Click the link in the show notes, join the waitlist, and as long as you're on the waitlist, you will be the first to know when the doors open, and you can come and join us in the Manifestation Room. Now, if you want to know more about it, come over to Instagram and make sure to follow at the Manifestation Room on Instagram for all the juicy details, all the extra bits and bobs about the Manifestation Room. I hope you've loved this episode. I will be back very soon for more money and manifestation episodes, but have a fabulous day. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this content, I would so love it if you could leave me an iTunes review. You would totally make my day, and you'd help this podcast to reach other listeners just like you. And if you know someone who this content would help, then please share it with them. Share the love, share the positivity. I hope you all have a wonderful and prosperous day, and I will see you all in the next episode.